Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Joe Rogan, he came down with COVID. He says he's been taking the livestock dewormer ivermectin.
Does it bother you that the news network you work for out and out lied? Well, just outright lied about me taking horse dewormer.
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I didn't ask. I should have asked before coming
into
the podcast.
But they did it with such glee.
That's what I want to know.
I wasn't happy.
Oh, don't give me that. You were very happy.
I was
not
happy.
Absolutely giddy.
Giddy. No,
giddy.
I was not
you
giddy.
You were giddy.
Giddy. I was not giddy.
You were giddy.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Let's be clear. Vaccination requirements should not be another issue that divides us.
When we finally do, God willing, get a vaccine, who's going to take the shot? You can be the first one to say, put me, sign me up. They now say it's okay.
What are you, some kind of nut? Who do you think you are?
I am Captain Chaos.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
All kinds of stories about companies, municipalities, states, et cetera, requiring the vaccinations and laying down the law when they're going to start the dismissal process, et cetera, et cetera. I'll just read you one that is a big issue in Massachusetts. The prison guards, correctional officers, were in court this afternoon in Worcester with in front of federal judge Timothy Hillman, trying to stop the vaccine mandate, which is supposed to go into effect on Sunday night. And Tal Duvall, Charlie Parker, has already called up, I think, 250 members of the National Guard to stand by to move into the prisons if they have to start laying people off. Or they're going to move into the headquarters, and then the staff, the brass at the DOC, Department of Correction, will move behind the walls, as they like to say. So here's the latest. Judge Hillman made no decision this afternoon in federal court in the high-profile lawsuit brought by the Union for Massachusetts Prison Guards, which is suing to postpone Parker's strict vaccine mandate that requires executive branch state workers to be fully vaccinated by Sunday or risk being fired. Judge Hillman said he would take the arguments under advisement after hearing from Jennifer Greeney, an attorney for the Baker administration, and from James Lamond, a lawyer for the Mass Correction Officers Federated Union. Their headquarters, by the way, are in Milford, just like the prison headquarters are in Milford. And they have in their union hall, they have pictures, framed pictures of themselves, the union bosses, and some of the rank and file members with Charlie Parker, because they've endorsed him, I think, a couple of times. He was their guy. They were with him all the way, and now he's trying to fire him. And I don't know how else to put it. You know, if they ever name a street after this guy, it'll have to be one way. Donald Trump was so right about him. He's a phony, total phony. You know, and for what? I mean, if there were really any danger here, do you think they would be balking at it like this if it was a smallpox outbreak and it was a smallpox vaccine or polio? Did anyone balk at taking the polio vaccine? I don't think so. Lamond, the attorney for the union, argued the mandate deprives guards of fundamental constitutional rights and disregards the state's collective bargaining agreement, CBA, with the state. This is key. If you've ever been in a union or you've ever studied contracts, you sign a contract. A contract is supposed to be sacrosanct under the Constitution. I mean, we're a nation of laws, not of men. And Charlie Parker just says, I want them all to get vaccinated or they're gonna be fired. And he has the right to do this. And his own judges, once he's given at least four pay raises to, Oh yes, you haven't made us go to work for 18 months. You're the greatest. Here's what the union said. We believe, obviously, that an order which effectively names a new condition of employment. Again, this is an addition to the contract that hasn't been approved by the arbitration or the membership or anybody, which names a behavior which is per se just cause for termination. Our view is that it does bring about a substantial change in the rights and responsibilities the parties have themselves worked out over time. It is as if the parties had agreed in their contract that failure to receive the vaccine shall constitute just cause for discharge. The order, that is, makes it per se grounds for discharge. That is not the bargain that the parties struck. That does adjust in a fairly fundamental way the rights and responsibilities that they had negotiated in the employment contract. I think it's a good argument. So the Charlie Parker's lawyer argued the idea that there's a constitutional liberty interest here is really a red herring. Oh, they love that phrase now, red herring. Everything's a red herring. If they disagree with it, it's a red herring. Because this is not some broader mandate that requires vaccinations. It is making the vaccination a condition of employment. If the person does not want to get vaccinated, they do not have to, but there will be employment consequences. But there's nothing in the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, about this being an employment consequence. I mean, shouldn't that have some relevance to the argument at hand? Lamond said less drastic measures could be implemented by the state besides the sweeping mandate that covers some 42,000 state workers, including correctional officers. The government has available more moderate courses that can be taken to address this very same problem, he said, pointing to how the Massachusetts trial court has handled the matter. Ed Hillman, I believe, is a former state judge, so that was kind of a tickle at him. I don't think they were trying to tickle him per se, because they want him to be on their side, but it's still raising an interesting issue, isn't it? Hillman said, I understand that point, but my problem is that the trial court isn't in the same congregate living situation that the correctional officers are confronted with on a daily basis. However, my understanding is that the inmates don't have to get vaccinated. So just like the illegal aliens don't have to get vaccinated, but the Border Patrol has to get vaccinated. Just like the taxpayers who want to keep their jobs have to get vaccinated, the welfare recipients don't have to get vaccinated. Where is the equity? That's their favorite word now, equity. Where is the equity here? 844-500-4242. Let's see here. Dennis, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Dennis.
Howie, I have worked in one of the big box stores since the governors of New England shut down my business to make ends meet. And during my time there, over a year, people were calling us heroes for just showing up to work.
Right.
And they didn't start with us. I noticed that they start with the airlines, where there's a limited segment of society that's coming into contact. Now, you've shopped in my store, not my store, but my sister stores, and up and down the highway here in our region, there has been nobody, no worker, who's reported sick or has been hospitalized with due to the China virus, and I'll call it the China virus. And we've gone through over a year without any contact, and they're not asking McDonald's, Home Depot, Lowe's, Wendy's, or any of them to vaccinate their employees at the risk of being fired. Why do you think that is? Because they're exposed to a larger portion of the population, right?
Right.
And we wouldn't put up with it.
Yeah, Biden said today, or his, I don't think he said it himself, but his handlers said that he's going to announce this OSHA order momentarily. But, you know, again, it's been, I think, 6 weeks since he announced they were going to do this, and they still haven't announced. I don't think they want to do it, and I think they know they would lose in court if they take it. And that case would probably go immediately or very quickly to the Supreme Court, don't you think? What are you going to do?
I've been banging it around in my head as to why so few people in my industry have gotten sick, and I've come to the conclusion that we must be sophisticated.
Are you invited to Bill Gates' daughter's wedding down in Westchester County, Dennis? Only the very sophisticated people will be there. Some of the same people who were at Phil Murphy's party in New Jersey last week. That's another very sophisticated, unmasked crew. Thanks for the call, Dennis. 844-500-4242. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take a lot of calls in this hour. I'm Howie Carr.
Holding the Hackorama accountable is a full-time job.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Howie Carr will be back after this short break.
You just shot an unarmed man.
But he should have armed himself.
The Howie Carr Show.
Goodbye, Joe, me gotta go, me oh my oh. Me gotta go, pull the P-Row down the bio.
I love Hank Williams Sr. They never should have changed the name of the Magic Radio country classic station from Hank's Place. It's Hank is the man, not Willie Nelson or Lefty Frizzell or anybody else. It's Hank Williams. Hank Williams, you wrote my life, as Mo Bandy sang. Explosive documents prove McAuliffe's administration pushed CRT, critical race theory, in Virginia schools, from the Federalist. Newly unearthed documents revealed that during his tenure as governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe's education department was pushing public schools to teach CRT, critical race theory. This is from 2015. State public schools were encouraged by the Department of Education to embrace critical race theory and engage in race-conscious teaching and learning. Christopher Rufo discovered this. He's been all over this this issue of critical race theory. Scoop, Terry McAuliffe claims that critical race theory has never been caught in Virginia, says Christopher Rufo, but I've obtained a memo from the state superintendent directly promoting CRT, calling it an important analytic tool for addressing power and privilege in all Virginia schools. And we see how they're trying to cover up even rapes in Loudoun County, rapes by a alleged transgender male student of two female teenage students in middle schools. And so why wouldn't they be covering up this, too, if they're covering up that? So today's poll question is brought to you by Gold Co. Stagflation is making a comeback. Go to goldco.com/Howie Carr to request your free IRS loophole guide and learn how you can protect your wealth and take control of your retirement. That's goldco.com/Howie Carr. I've set that up as a preface because our poll question is about the Virginia governor's race. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results so far?
Who's going to win the Virginia governor's race, Glenn Youngkin or Terry McAuliffe?
I'm less concerned about Terry McAuliffe than I was a couple hours ago before the story broke, but I'm still going to say McAuliffe.
77% say Youngkin.
All right. I hope they're right. 844-500-4242. Mark, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Howie. Let's go, Brandon. I wanted to point out that the Congress and the Senate are exempt from the vaccine mandate.
I know.
What the hell are we doing?
And according to various stories, which have not been very forcefully denied, a lot of these congressmen and their staffers are taking ivermectin, which there's all this controversy. CNN calls it a horse dewormer, but apparently it's good enough for congressmen, but it's not good enough for you and me. Same with hydroxychloroquine.
I've been taking the ivermectin for about 3 months now. I've never felt anything negative from it. You know, what does the Congress and the Senate know that we don't know.
Well, I know.
You know,
nobody's ever said it was going to hurt you, have they? Other than that TV station in Oklahoma, and then it got picked up by Rolling Stone, one of the leading fake news magazines in the world, and then it got picked up by Rachel Maddow, and it's all been debunked. They said the Oklahoma hospitals were full of people ODing on ivermectin. Totally fake news. And Rachel Maddow has never been deplatformed by Twitter for putting it out there, a total lie. Neither is Rolling Stone magazine.
We're supposed to live in a democracy, Howie. And I don't see how these, you know what, in Senate and Congress can pass things like Obamacare and this friggin' vaccine mandate and exempt themselves. You know, everyone in America who could should go to Washington and say, this is it. Enough.
Yeah. I know, but they're not gonna listen to us. It's better just to just vote. Get signatures for these petitions, whether it's for voter ID in Massachusetts or for stopping Charlie Parker's transportation climate initiative tax to increase the gasoline tax by 150% to pay more hacks. We got to, you know, think. It's a cliche, but it's true. Act globally or think globally, act locally. You know, that's the way to go, I think. Sanjay Gupta had to go back to CNN, and after he was so scorched by Joe Rogan about ivermectin, and he had to defend what he said. And Dr. Don Lamone was making the point. They're still calling it a horse dewormer. I mean, what does that mean? If it helps a person or a human being, what does it matter what it's used for? And Joe Rogan says his doctor told him to take it. So how bad can it be? It wasn't bad. He's recovered. He had COVID and he didn't die. So something worked. Here's Don Lamone with Sanjay after he got scorched by Joe Rogan. Cut 8.
I know it's in large part a tongue-in-cheek interview, you know, because it's Joe Rogan and there's lots of, you're jockeying back and forth. But he did say something about ivermectin that I think wasn't actually correct, about CNN and lying, okay? Ivermectin is a drug that is commonly used as a horse dewormer. So it is not a lie to say that the drug is used as a horse dewormer. I think that's important, and it is not approved for COVID.
Did you notice that? It's tongue-in-cheek. So, you know, Joe Rogan is not serious. Is not a serious journalist like all the people who are pushing the Russian collusion hoax and making crap up and having to quit and saying that Michael Cohen was going to testify against Trump James Comey had never told Trump that he was not a target of the investigation, and that guy that was briefly his communications aide, whose name is slipping my mind, was getting money from the Russians for bank loans. I mean, all this BS that they reported, it's all lies, and they're still standing by it. God, 844-500-4. Glenn Grunwald. Wald really had some good tweets on this matter as the day went on. Rogan acknowledged, Anderson Cooper said Rogan acknowledged taking a treatment designed for animals. That is an outright lie. There's no ambiguity or debate. They lied, but they know the few viewers they have don't care if they lie about their enemies. That's a very good way to put it, Glenn Greenwald. We'll play some more of that, and we'll take your calls when we come back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We quickly sold out in a matter of moments today on the 110 Grill gift certificates, $50 gift certificates for $25. But we still have a lot of other good deals at the Howie Carr Show store. Go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on store. You can buy a $50 gift certificate to Apex Entertainment. It's a giant amusement center in Marlboro. Great place. Great Christmas present, a $50 gift certificate for $25. We also have gift certificates to Fun Spot, which is a giant arcade, the world's largest arcade, Laconia, New Hampshire. again, a great Christmas gift, a stocking stuffer, and you can use it any time. You can use it now when you're skiing in the White Mountains, or you can save it for next summer. But that's Fun Spot in Laconia, New Hampshire, and Apex Entertainment in Marlboro, Massachusetts. Get those gift certificates right now at HowieCarsShow.com. Click on store. Right, exactly. So we were talking about, Sanjay Gupta, the medical correspondent for CNN with Joe Rogan, who was, roasted and, snarked at by CNN because he's a free thinker, is basically it. And so everybody's got to toe the party line with CNN. So when he got COVID and he took ivermectin, they were all calling it a horse dewormer. And people are texting me and emailing me as well, saying that who cares what they call it if it works, And someone says, I can't even begin to tell you how much human medicine overlaps into veterinary medicine arsenal. Everything from anxiety medication to antibiotics to painkillers. Yeah, I ask Dr. Matt that all the time. I say, he recommends something, and I say, isn't that a human drug? And he says, yes, it is. A guy tells me his brother down here in Florida got the prescription from his doctor, too. It's ridiculous. And Glenn Greenwald, who follows this very well, he's just been watching this, and he says, just look at how often, casually and blatantly, CNN lies about people. And I mentioned it earlier, what they did with all the Trump people. And then when one of their employees is forced to admit they lied, when directly confronted by the person they lied about, they force him to go on their own air on CNN and humiliate himself by backtracking. CNN is utter excrement. Although he didn't use the word excrement. Also, notice what a little worm Sanjay Gupta is. When he had to confront Rogan face to face, he admitted CNN lied about him and shouldn't have said what they said. Then back on CNN, pressured by Don Lemon, he stuttered and obfuscated. Look at the difference. By the way, before we go back to the phone lines, I just want to play... people are starting to put together videos of what Fauci said then and what he's saying now. And this is, we'll just play two here. This is talking about how vaccines are, I think he said about 100% effective. This is what he said originally, cut 21.
So now we have two vaccines that are really quite effective. The mRNA vaccine, highly effective, extraordinarily efficacious, 94 to 95% for mild to moderate disease, and virtually 100% efficacious, because the real world effectiveness is even more impressive than the results of the clinical trial.
If you give me a choice between an effective vaccine and an efficacious vaccine, I'm taking the efficacious one. That sounds much more impressive, doesn't it? Efficacious. But now it turns out that the vaccine weren't so efficacious or effective. Cut 22.
You might need another shot. We've got to make sure we clarify that for people. It has nothing to do whether or not it's effective. We know it's highly effective.
I guess it's more semi-efficacious than it is highly efficacious, correct? You're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a criminal news network, and they're going to be pushing stuff that against stuff that works, and pushing stuff that doesn't work for on all of us. And it's interesting that the people in the Congress, they can take the stuff that works. And I also want to make the point that. This is all kind of a fulfillment of what Obama said about fundamental transformation of America, and I think that includes critical race theory as well.
Yeah, another thing, I mean, this is another example of Congress writing rules for thee but not for me. I mean, they exempted themselves from Obamacare, remember that? And their staffs, too, because their staffs are very valuable. They didn't need to go through all that red tape that everybody else was going to be forced to go through with Obamacare. Thanks for the call, John. By the way, they announced the new numbers. They're always announcing numbers. It's a big story on the websites. New caseloads. 1,901 students tested positive last week. And then it's just left at that. They tested positive. They don't say how many are hospitalized. They don't say how many are dead. We know why they don't say how many are dead, because there aren't any dead. 1,901 tested positive. By the way, all the tests are given out, less than 2% are testing positive. That's across the whole state. And daily cases now are averaging 968 a day in Massachusetts. A month ago, it was 1,896, which is about double, just a little under double what it was a month ago. But they're getting ready to fire all these hundreds, if not thousands, of workers. Even though the death rate was 14, and again, the death rate has been averaging people over the age of 80 who are sick on top of that, and they're still going to fire all these people. Steve from Cambridge, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
I am working for a very huge liberal manufacturer who shall remain nameless, and there's no vaccine mandate.
I know. He keeps saying, they keep asking him every day. I give him credit for that. At least they, somebody tells him to the reporters to ask the question, when's the mandate coming out? And they say, oh, it's coming out very shortly. It's coming out any day now. But you're right. There is no mandate.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, hydroxychloroquine, it was mysteriously banned in like January and February of 2020. And it had been on the market for 65 years as an effective malaria medication.
Right.
We're not very familiar with that medication in America because we
don't have malaria.
Because we don't live at the equator.
Right. But the countries that have been using it for 65 years had a very low rate of COVID-19 infections, didn't they? Do you think there could be some relation between those two facts, Steve?
Oh, there can't possibly be. I mean, whatever Fauci says, I mean, he's God. Didn't you know that?
I did know that, and he uses the word efficacious, so he must be pretty smart, right? Yeah, unlike the rest of us. Plus, he's had the same job since Lyndon Johnson was president. How many people can say that? Very few. Very bleeping few.
Big words like supercilious and megalomania.
yeah. No, those words do apply to him. So does imperious. Thanks for the call, Steve. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Tom.
Hi, Howie. 2 points I want to make as quick as I can. Number one, this whole situation with the correctional officers, I have a personal friend of mine who's told me that they have no plan for how they're going to fill in the void. He's telling me about 1,500 correctional officers that are not vaccinated at this time, and the deadline is the 18th.
Yeah.
He shared with me a letter from a Jeff McHugh, who's the Assistant Secretary for Chief Human Resources, and in his letter, it says, unless expressly directed not to report to work by your manager or agency head, all executive branch employees should report for work on the regular scheduled shift on October 18th. So
that's a Monday.
To me, it sounds like they're backing down. So I'm hoping they're backing down.
I hope so, too. Let me just mention that I got a text yesterday from a cop. And he, one of the other cops in his department, which is severely understaffed like many police departments, is in the National Guard. And they called him up and they specifically said, you're being called up to go to work for the DOC, if necessary, Department of Correction. And this guy pointed out, this cop said, he's not vaccinated. He's not vaccinated for our department. So they're gonna bring him in unvaccinated to replace a guard who's not vaccinated. Again, it's a recurring theme every show, but none of this makes any sense, does it?
No, it makes no sense at all. And me being the skeptic that I am, I asked, it sounds like the perfect excuse to release your non-violent offenders. And he told me that 4 years ago, the prison was at 150% occupancy. Today, it's more like 50% capacity.
Right. They've already released a lot of these people.
Yeah, it's very, very concerning. Now, the second point I wanted to make is to anybody to call ivermectin a horse dewormer, it's a very ignorant statement to make because most pharmaceutical compounds work across the spectrum of the mammalian species.
Right.
So horses are mammals, humans are mammals. I have females in my family that are very susceptible to urinary tract infections, and and they have prescriptions for amoxicillin. When my dog would get urinary tract infections, she was also prescribed amoxicillin. The difference is there are inactive ingredients that will be different from a human version of the prescription to a dog or a horse or whatever.
Right.
But the ivermectin compound itself is the same regardless of which mammal it receives. The difference is the dosage, which is typically compared to the size of the animal, how much blood it has in its body.
Correct. Yeah. I know.
I just find it very hypocritical to call. For most notably, a prescription, a pharmaceutical compound that was created for one thing but turns out it was used for another, is what we now call Viagra. It was originally researched and developed for a blood pressure to help a heart attack or people not have a heart attack.
And yeah. And Tom, the thing is, what does it matter what they call it if it works? And if you're not sure whether it works, but it's not going to hurt you, what is the harm of taking it if it might work?
What I can't understand is how people in the media are rooting for things not to work.
They are, absolutely.
When we're faced with a, quote, global pandemic, it seems like people would get excited at the thought that anything would work. I don't understand why we have to be so negative about something that can work, even if it works for some people part of the time or early cases or late cases. To me, a win is a win.
I couldn't agree with you more.
More columns in the W side.
I don't understand. You know, another thing, I don't understand why they call it a breakthrough case. Anyway, to me, a breakthrough has always been a positive development. You know, whether you're whatever technology or medicine or any form of human endeavor. Now it's a negative, a breakthrough case. But you're right. I mean, the media has there's no other way to put it. Most of the media, 98%, has a rooting interest in keeping this panic, and that's what it is. It's a panic going. Even though it's not helping the Democrats anymore, that's why I'm beginning to think it's going to go away, because it's cratering Dementia Joe's poll number. So I think they're going to have to make it go away one way or another. Thanks for the call, Tom. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You might want to keep a close eye on your fried clams. Howie Carr returns after this.
Yum, yum, yum.
If you're looking for a woke male role model, well, you've got the wrong guy.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you?
The Howie Carr Show is back.
Here's a text from 207. He works for a large defense contractor whose name Joe Biden mispronounced last week. If I don't disclose my VAC status by tomorrow, it's considered a resignation. Imagine that. God. By the way, says 781, they're giving the COVID vaccine to zoo animals now. Does that make it an animal vaccine? That's a good point, too. I'd forgotten about that. 844-500-4242. I want to play one cut here. This is just for laughs. Kamala yesterday was with Tammy Duckworth, the senator from Illinois, and they tried to have one of these Zoom calls, but somebody forgot to mute. And there's going to be some silence in here, but we haven't gone off the air. It's the silence of the lambs. Listen to this. Cut 25.
I do think that we are going to go to the next person, which should be Nicole Jorwick from Illinois. Hello, Nicole.
Nicole, unmute yourself or wave. Let's see you. Where are you? Where's Nicole?
Boy, that's some audio video gold right there. Where's Nicole? Where's Nicole? 844-500-4242. George Stephanopoulos, a made member of the Clinton crime family, has announced today that he's got a new production company. And he announced it today, and they're going to create content for ABC, Disney Plus, National Geographic, and FX. And his first project is going to be a documentary about the former British spy and P dossier hoaxer, Christopher Steele. A hoax, the man who created the hoax, the man who made it all up. Now he's going to, oh, I'm a victim. Crikey, mate, why won't they leave me alone, Governor? All I tried to do was get Hillary Clinton, your old boss, elected president. Now they're all over me like, you know what, on, like stink on you know what, mate. I've just summed it up for you. You don't have to watch it. Donna, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Donna.
Hi, Howie. Thanks for taking my call. I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
And I just can't believe I vote for Republicans. I voted for Parker. And I just get so disgusted. I don't know what to do anymore. Why don't they speak up and say something about what's going on?
I think, he was always a rhino Republican, and we just held our nose because he was running against Marsha Coakley and Small Duvall. And I didn't vote for him last time around. I voted against him in the Republican primary. I took a Republican ballot as unenrolled, and I voted for Scott Lively just to send him a message. And then I couldn't vote for Gonzalez because he was just as bad, so I just blanked it. That's the first time I've ever blanked a race at the top of the ballot. But I can't stand the guy. He's such a phony. I mean, that was the perfect word that Trump described him as the other day, phony. And he's just, he double-crossed this union, the correctional officers. I'm not a big fan of unions, even though I was in a union. I'm not a big fan of the public sector. But, you know, if somebody's with you, and it's one thing if they were PATCO, and with Ronald Reagan, and they broke the contract, and they walked out, and they endangered public safety. But these guys want to work. Same with the state police. Same with all these state workers. They want to work. They're not. This isn't an illegal strike or work stoppage. They're just being summarily fired. I'm Howie Carr.